Who was here last week at the Sermon of Noah? I see a lot of hands, but for the ones that were not there, I will give a short recap. Noah spoke about your true identity that God gives. She called Peter as an example. And for me, it was a very special moment because I was like, this is what I want to talk about next week, because there was like a fake idea and now I got it clear. Noah spoke about Peter, who had his own idea about who Jesus was. He was like, this is our Messiah, and he will come and save us from the Romans, our earthly enemy who is oppressing us, until he discovered that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah, who was a lot more than what we can imagine. He's much more than our thoughts. He is more than we can ever imagine. He's the Son of God. He is God. He is so much more. But even though he knew that, he still betrayed him. But later we read in his letters that Peter, after a while, really understood and he started to live out of that identity. So I'm going to talk about what is God's purpose of giving you this true identity. I really want to go deeper into Peter. So we're going to read the letters of Peter, 1 Peter 4, verse 1 and 2, and verse 10 and 11, because we don't have time to read it all. So, 1 Peter 4, in verse 1 and 2, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live in the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Verse 10 and 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's the way it is. So Peter really went through a transformation. He got revelation of who God really is. He sees what the purpose is, what's all about. And that is to live to the will of God from what God gives you, not from your own strength, but from his strength. There's a translation that I really like to use when I have my quiet time or when I want to like go deeper into the... It's the NABC. But she says it goes deeper into it, to having the mind of Christ. That literally you have the Spirit of God, the thinking of Jesus when he was here on the earth, that you received that through the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is our example in everything. So that the things that you do it the way that Jesus did them. Because you have the same Spirit. You do it through the same Spirit. Now we go a little further in this chapter. We're going to verse 13. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, should not be as a murderer or a thief or any, verse 16, but however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So acknowledge and understand who wrote this down. That's Peter, the guy who, when it got real hard, when he still had a worldly view of Jesus, when it got hard, he actually betrayed Jesus. While he said, I will never betray you. I will never do that. Because he was so convinced that he was able to do it out of his own strength. He's like, I will always follow Jesus because he's my master, he's my Lord. But when it got really tough, he betrayed Jesus. And how much pain should that have done when he suddenly realized, when he went really deep in his own heart, he was like, oh, I cannot do it on my own strength. And that at the moment when you're so low, I've also had one moment that I suddenly realized all the things that we have here on earth that we have, your study, your job, your friends, your family, that everything that you build up here are wonderful things, only it's not what it's all about. And when you realize I've got all these things from God, he gave it to me, and I cannot do it out of my own strength, I cannot do the things that God wants me to do to really make him happy. Who am I? Like, God is so much more. He is so big. Like, just acknowledge and understand. They say that the universe is like expanding and expanding, and they still don't even understand how big the universe is, and then try to comprehend the one that made it, God. And Peter was really transformed because he saw things suddenly from the viewpoint of the Holy Spirit. He saw things from the Spirit of God. How patient was God with Peter? If we read this, we're like, oh, Peter, come on. You should know by now. You walked and lived with Jesus, literally. But it took years before Peter really grasped it, when he really had the Holy Spirit, when he received the Spirit. And when I think about it, with me, it takes even longer than with Peter. So if God was so patient with Peter, how patient will he be with us? And when you go through that transformation, when you had that moment when you realized it, then suddenly your focus shifts from yourself to God. When you have been filled with this Holy Spirit, you understand it's not about me. It's not about my feelings. It's not about my circumstances. It's all about God and who he is. And when you have experienced that, then suddenly everything changes. Your whole relationship with God will change, because then you will have your quiet time to seek him for who he is. Then you literally have the longing, the desire from within, because you have been changed. And now you want to seek him for who he is. Then you're not going with an agenda into your quiet time. You're not going like, God, do you want to do this job? Do you want me to do this study? But then you start with, thank you, Lord, for who you are. Then you start, like, from your humble position, from, like, the acknowledging of who he is every day again and again. So he's so big. Like, there's no words to describe how great and big he is. And now I really want to go to John 15. Verse 1 through 8. The Bible people know about, it goes about the vineyard. Here it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So, what Jesus says here, when you glorify God, when you glorify the Father, then you will bear much fruit, and then you are his disciple. But how do we get there? Because eventually, you cannot do anything out of yourself to make him happy. But what he says in verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. What Evelyn also said. When you acknowledge and realize that you cannot do it from your own strength, it's Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit that does it within you. That asks surrender. It is a dependence on Him. Because you live in complete surrender. Because you understand that everything that you do it for God. But you do it because of God, through God. So it's not you who does it. Not from your own strength, but from the Holy Spirit. And this makes it like the seeking of your own glory and pride. That you're like, I did all these things. I made all this, it's not you who does it. So when people really realize this, and from this perspective start to live, then the congregation, the church, will start to function the way it's intended. Because you don't get hurt as quickly. We're still people. Of course, you can't get hurt. But when you do things with the intention of God who does it, from the sincerity of your heart, then rejection is not where identity is. Because their identity is in God and not in rejection. So in that way, you will have true love here in the church among each other. Because the law is now in your heart. It's written in your heart. And it's not something just keep. God wrote it on your heart. Like in Jeremiah 31, verse 33, it says that the law is not just something you have to follow, but that God writes it on your heart. The whole Old Testament is full of it. It's like bizarre when you really dive deep into the word, when you see the Psalms, like every book in the Old Testament points to Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises. The coming of the Holy Spirit has been proclaimed and foretold in the whole Old Testament. Like, I really want to encourage you to really go deeper and deeper into the word of God, to be impressed by who God is. Like, if you just see how He reveals who He is in the Bible, like, there's just no end to it. He is, without end. So the time that you take with Him, it always goes deeper and deeper because there's no end to God. There's just no words to really, really explain to you, but I'm really trying. Yeah. I think my time is almost gone, but I really want to give you a blessing from Hebrews 13. If I can find it, she says, verse 20 and 21, it says, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I shortly want to pray with you, and then we're going to watch a dance. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you, in so many wonderful ways that you've revealed yourself to us, and that there will never be an end to who you are, and that we get to know you more and more and more. And I pray for all the people and also for myself, and also the people on the stream. Yes, Father. There will never be an end to who you are. That we get to know you more and more and more. That our desire to you grows. And that we might be filled with your Holy Spirit. And with love for one another. And that we get to have a bigger understanding of who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen.